You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some of the biggest takeaways, strategies, reflection of my career as a college coach. And whether you're a college coach, whether you're a beginner coach, intermediate coach, there is a ton of takeaways in this episode that I think you'll be able to apply to your coaching philosophy and your coaching toolbox that you can use with your team and yourself as you grow as an individual and as a coach. So this is an episode you definitely don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after a number of years coaching competitive volleyball and as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, I've become obsessed with helping coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to coach efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 194 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there today? Oh man, another week of volleyball in the books, and this episode is going to be a little different for me, I got to say. A couple announcements, which I'm sure many of you know. First, I got to apologize because I did not launch an episode last week Monday. The first time I haven't launched an episode in I don't know how many years. You listeners will probably know more than I do, but it has been maybe a couple times that I haven't launched an episode on rare occasions. Definitely not more than five. I want to say two. Maybe two or three times that's ever happened. Maybe two times that's ever happened where I don't launch an episode. But man, We got a bug in the house. You know, my daughter was sick and everybody was okay. Then my son got sick and then he got pink eye. And then that pink eye transferred over to my wife, then transferred over to me. And I've never had pink eye before. And when this thing hit me, boy, it hit me really bad. I was knocked out. I couldn't go to work for a week. I couldn't even open my right eye for like 4 or 5 days. It was like glued shut. It was weird, and both eyes were red, and then with this infection, I got a cold and a flu, and it was like, it just all hit me at once. Yeah, I don't think I've been knocked out for this long of a time before, and as much as I wanted to do the episode, I was this close to doing it, but I couldn't, I physically couldn't do the episode, so yeah, I unfortunately had to. And it happened right after my workshop, which many of you know I had a workshop last weekend where we did an offensive workshop. It was great. I had a record 1,200 coaches register for the workshop. It was incredible, 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 incredible. And I'm super thankful for all the coaches that attended. And it's funny, all those coaches, I told them, hey, Monday I'm dropping an episode, and I never did. So the coach was probably like, what a liar, this guy's a liar. I'm not a liar, I apologize for that. Yeah, so a lot of new coaches, I was able to do a training session too, which was great. And yeah, so that was that. And then I got sick, unfortunately, so it is what it is. And then I welcomed some members into DVA. So DVA was open last week, so welcome to all our new members. Really, really happy that you're able to be, you know, be in DVA, and I can't wait to get a chance to work with you. And I know DVA is going to be an amazing experience for you, and you're going to be able to take your coaching to the next level. And now another big announcement, which if you don't follow me on social media, you're not going to know about this, but I officially stepped down as the men's volleyball coach for the biggest college in Canada, Seneca. And you know what, I just listened to the intro. I'm gonna have to change that intro whenever I get a chance to do that, because I'm now the former head coach of the biggest college in Canada, not the current head coach. And this decision was not taken lightly, I gotta tell you. So there's a couple of things that went into this decision. One, our campus is moving to the King campus, by the way. So for those of you that don't know where that is, that's an additional 40 minutes away, not including traffic, not including weather. And I live in Toronto, I live in Ontario, Canada, so weather is a big part of that. They're getting a new build, but they're getting a new build now. They're getting a new build. It's going to be a great facility, $130 million facility. It's going to be unreal. But it's going to take 4 years. Now, they say 4 years. It could take five. It could take 6 years. And that's a long time to put on our back to, like, for this extended travel, for all the accommodations that need to be made for myself, my coaching staff, the team. It is a lot. And yes, it's a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice I wasn't willing to put my family through. And the other thing was, this season, there were 6 weekends in a row where I missed events for my kids, family. I missed majority of my daughter's 5th birthday party this year. We had training camp, and I caught the end of it, and I brought the team over. We cut a cake with my daughter, and everything was great, but it wasn't the same as, you know, my wife had to do it on her own. And there was a lot of situations where I was missing things because of this. And for coaches in the U.S. and, you know, all over the world, if this was my full-time, like, if this coaching job was my full-time thing, then no problem. I would do it. But there's only a handful of full-time volleyball coaching positions in Canada. My coaching job was not one of them. So if I was a full-time volleyball coach, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. No problem. But in many cases, and many coaches, you can relate to this, when volleyball is not your full-time job, it's not my full-time job, but it requires me to do it full-time, if you know what I mean. Like, I was running, just like every other coach in the league is running, a full-time coaching program. We do the exact same thing as full-time coaches do, with the exception of maybe an additional month that they got to put in. But we don't get paid as full-time coaches. So as you know, I'm also a teacher and I have DVA, etc. So something had to go. And I had to step down. Unfortunately, I had to step down, and it was a family first decision. And you know what? I think it was the right one. And thank you for everyone that's reached out to me, by the way. I really appreciate the support that you guys have given me. Honestly, it means a lot. It means the world just to know that, you know, making a tough decision like that, I had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, you know what? You did the right thing. We're so proud of you. You know, your kids are gonna appreciate it. And you know, that's the thing too. Like, I thought about it. You know, my daughter would be at the earliest 10 years old when we move back to the main campus and I'd be closer to home. I can't wait that long to start being more in my daughter's life and stuff like that. So yeah, it was the right call at the right time. And I know there are going to be other opportunities to coach at the college. I know that. And they'll come in if the opportunity presents itself and it's the right one. Hopefully I get that chance again. And if not, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. But here's some exciting things that I think that this is going to make possible. And for listeners and for DVA members, you know, this is what I'm most excited about. Is as a college coach, it limited me in my capacity. I was doing so much. I wasn't able to do a lot of great things that I wanted to do. For example, in DVA, 80% of DVA is my opinion. Is what I've learned from other great coaches, and I've formulated it into my philosophy, and I teach it into a curriculum. And that curriculum is accepted across the world because volleyball, there's only so much you can teach with volleyball, right? But now what I'm able to do now is I'm able to take the time and go into other coaches' gyms and not only learn, but reflect and see what they're doing. And I get to bring that back to DVA and our members and our listeners to help grow the game in a way that I would not have been able to do if I was a head coach still. So I could go to other gyms, spend a week with a coach, see how they're doing it, pick their brain a little bit, see how they're running their practices, how their programming works, how their seasonal planning looks like, what their tactics are. I could really get an idea. Obviously, I won't, whatever I'm not allowed to share, I can't share, but the amount of takeaways I'll be able to get are going to be astronomical, and I'll be able to bring that back to DVA, to the pod, and it's going to be such a great experience for me, and it'll better not just me, but everyone that's in my world, and I think that is really cool. So that's, long story short, I've been rambling here for a bit, but there's a lot of positives that are going to come out of this, and already, you know, I've been talking to coaches about getting in their gyms, and I'm looking forward to that. So when that, you'll be following along my story. I know you will be, and I'll be working, you know, in our national team gym over the summer as well, getting a chance to spend more time there. And that's ultimately the best of the best. So there's a lot of great things ahead, and I'm excited about the change, and it'll be good. So thank you guys for your support, and as always, reach out if you need anything, reach out if you have any questions. So today's episode is more so of, you know, it's a reflection, it's what I've learned as a college coach, it's kind of a summary of my lessons. And I think that no matter where you are in your coaching journey, whether you're a beginner coach or pro level coach, there definitely is a value in this episode, because you're going to be able to either say, hey, you know what, we do that. Okay, yep, I agree, that does work. Oh, I've never done that before, or I've never realized that before. So there'll definitely be a lot of things you can still take back to your gym. I promise you that, because that's what this podcast is all about. So let's. And if you're, oh, by the way, did I even introduce myself to my new listeners? I don't think I did. New listeners, welcome to the pod. I'm so sorry. My name is Coach Brian Singh, and I'm the host of the podcast. And to my regular listeners, you know, I appreciate you guys as always. And the goal, just like every episode, is to deliver tangible, step-by-step strategies that you can apply to your gym and your team right away. And this episode, even though it's more of a reflection / learning episode, it's still something you can take back to your gym. So let's talk about some of the lessons I've learned. And it took me some time to write these down, but they're things that I know to be true now that I've been in it, and now that I've exited it, they are true, and it's the reality of our game. So, point number one, in order to win at the college level, you need a minimum of 2 game-changer players, and one of those players needs to be a pin player. So, if you look at your roster and you say, do I have any game-changer players on this team? Okay, do I have any game-changer players on this team? And the answer is no. It is going to be, the odds are against you to win a national championship. You need a game changer player. You need a minimum of, did I say two? You need a minimum of 1 to 2. Sorry, let's go 1 to 2. You don't need a minimum of 2. You need a minimum of 1 to 2 game changer players. And but one of them, if you have 2, one of them has to be a pin player. So you can't have a game changer libero and game changer setter, or game changer setter and game changer middle. One of them has to be a pin player, because majority of your points are going to come, because volleyball, like you hear me say this all the time, volleyball is an offensive minded sport, offense wins, and you need someone that could score the ball, and that has to be a pin player. Okay, and it sucks, you know, you can have the best all around players and you know this, but you need a game changer player, you need a stud, someone that is going to score the ball at a high level. And if you don't have that, you can't win a national championship. You could win games. You could have a great record, regular season record, but it's going to be tough to win. All right? So that's one. Okay. 2, culture matters. You may have heard me talk about this with my coaching staff a couple episodes ago. Culture matters. Okay? Poison culture does not win. It can only take you so far. And it's just like my assistant coach has said, and I've seen it, and I got a chance to reflect back. It's so true. You could have talent, okay, and that'll help you win in the regular season. That'll help you win and take you so far, but culture is what gets you over that hump. Without it, your team is at a loss, without a doubt, okay? Now, this is more of a college coaching point here, but you need a supportive administration, okay? Here is the thing. You need, if you don't have a supportive administration, and I tell this to DVA all the time. I tell this to all my DVA coaches, is if you have an AD or an administration that has a philosophy that goes against yours, you need to get out. If they don't support you, you're in trouble. You know, and I have coaches come and tell me all the time, you know, my AD says that this kid needs to be on the team. No. Nobody tells you who can be on your team and who cannot be on your team. The minute they start telling you how to coach, who to be on your team, big problem. because that's a recipe for disaster. You run your program, or the program runs you. So if you are not in charge of how your program works, how your coaching works, how your philosophy works, with the exception of, you know, you can't break the rules, obviously, then that's a situation you want to run. Run from that. So administration plays a big role for you as a coach and for you to be successful. And I when I talk to all the championship coaches that I've interviewed and that I got a chance to talk to, supportive administration is always something that they talk about, that if you don't have that, you're in trouble. Okay. You also need a really good coaching staff, a supportive coaching staff, and a great one too at that. You need a coaching staff that is going to see your vision and execute your vision to the T, but also be there to challenge you in a professional way. My coaching staff, I think, is second to none. They're phenomenal, and we've been working together for a long time. And it's such a, you heard me talk about it before. We are so synchronized and in such a great symmetry that when I call my time out, it's such a flow. When we have conversations, they flow. It works perfectly together because we've been doing it for a long time. But they challenge me when they need to, and they listen when they need to. And they know when I'm not gonna budge, and they know when they can challenge me on certain things, and they have every right to. Now, that's not to say, okay, they're not undermining me. So I don't want you to think that, like, so coaches that have assistant coaches, like, and I've heard this all the time, where the assistant coach is telling the player something different than the head coach. That's not good. Or the assistant coach is undermining the head coach by telling players different things. That's not good. So assistant coaches, they're never undermining me, but they're challenging me because they know that they might have a better idea or maybe they have a solution that I didn't think of. And that's great. You don't want yes people. You want people that can challenge you, without a doubt. So there's a difference between challenging and undermining. You want to have the challenging one. You need to have a player development model in place, because you're not going to recruit a championship team, okay? You can recruit talent, but they have to be able to fit into your system, and you still have to be able to train them to be better players, okay? And you still have to work on, remember, a player may be on your team for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Where they are in year one cannot be where they are in year four. How are you going to develop them into better players? So you have to have a really good player development plan in place, because player development is a crucial part of a championship program. So player development has to be a central part of your programming, okay? Recruiting, one of the things I hate the most, but you need to be good at it. You need to do it, okay? You need to be able to recruit talent. Our OCAA All-Star, League All-Star this year, was his first year on the team, and he's a first-team All-Star, and we recruited him. Now, was it because of us that he was his first-team All-Star? I don't think so. Did we have a part to play with it? Absolutely. But also, his club coaches had a huge part to do with that. They were working with him they put more hours into him than we did. They were working with him for a lot more years than we have been. Now, we were able to take what they've done and take it to another level, of course. But that's because of the work they put in. So you got to recruit good players who have great, solid fundamentals, who've been coached well, and you can now take them to another level. Another thing you need to be able to do is, as a college coach, you need to be able to put out fires quickly. And what do I mean by put out fires quickly? There is a long list of fires that could happen at any moment in time. It could be confrontation or issues within the team, within players. It could be an administration thing. It could be a mental health thing. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. A player lied about something, this and that. I mean, you know, coaches, how it is. There's so much things that could happen on a team. You got to be able to put out fires very quickly and do it in a very professional and calm manner, by being rational and approachable. But you got to be able to do that, okay? Eligibility. That's another thing that maybe high school and club coaches don't have to worry about. Eligibility is a thing at the university and college level. Players have to stay eligible. And if they don't, that's a problem. So you have to put together a plan to make sure that your players stay eligible. And it's tough. It's tough sometimes, but they have to stay eligible. And whatever that plan is, make sure you follow through with it. You know, academic advisors, coordinators, whatever you got to bring on staff to make sure they help, you got to do it. Because if your athletes are ineligible, if your athletes are ineligible, it doesn't matter how good they are, they won't be able to play. So eligibility is huge. Have a plan for your athletes, okay? Strength training. Strength training is a must. You have to have strength training in place. Without it, you're giving up a lot, okay? Because at our level, everybody can hit the ball. Everybody knows how to hit a ball, how to hit line, how to hit cross. Everyone knows how to hit seams. So what separates them? Well, it's the ones who can hit harder, who can jump higher. You know, those are things that are different. Those are things you can't stop. If someone hits a seam at 100 plus kilometers versus someone hitting a seam at 60 plus kilometers, you know, big difference there. Big difference. That's the difference between getting the defender digging the ball up or the defender getting their platform there, the ball flying out. So strength training is huge, huge, huge. Okay. Another important point I realized is players need to buy in. Yeah, your players, you just because you come, you put together a great program, a great plan and all that stuff. And if your players don't buy it, you're going to set up to fail because your players have to buy it. They got to believe it because at the end of the day, they're the one going out there and executing that plan. So your players needs to buy in very, very, very bad. They got to buy in. It's that simple. Yeah, I still realize that it still only takes one player to be a poison in the locker room. You know, it's interesting. We do exit interviews after every season, right? And at the end of these interviews, I always ask this one question. If there was one player that you would not want to see back on this team next year, who would it be and why? And I always remind them, it's just between us. And you'd be surprised sometimes that all the players, there's always that one player they would rather not see back on the team next year. That's your poison in the locker room. And that's the player you got to be very careful with. And 9 out of 10 times, you don't want to bring that player back on the team next year. Because if every single player or 80% of the players are saying that, then there's something going on there that you haven't seen or you don't know because you're not in the locker room with the players. You're not there to see it. Two other ones that I want to mention. Two other big ones here. Family first. The people you care about first, okay? Because at the end of the day, the administration doesn't care about you. The school, the college, the club, they don't care about you. Because at the end of the day, you're replaceable. You got to remember, every coach is replaceable. It doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter all the hours you put in, all the effort. Doesn't matter all the time you take away from your family. You are replaceable, okay? And I realized that, and I chose family first. And family come because all the time that I'd missed to put all this effort into to this program. And by the way, my players, they are a part of my family. Don't get me wrong. That is a separate family on its own. And I still will have my players back no matter what. Even though I'm not there, those guys know that I'll still be there for them. But the years that I would miss with my daughter and my son growing up are years that I'll never get back, and I will regret it. And I know I will. So I chose family first, and I'm happy about that. And the other thing, and I want to finish with this point, is you have to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be the coach that you could be. So I realized early in my college career, not my coaching career, but I realized that health, you know, my health was super important. I needed to get back in shape, you know, start hitting the gym again, getting healthier, eating better, sleeping better. When I started doing those things, I started thinking better. I started making better decisions in my life, in coaching, in my work. My work started becoming better. I started becoming a more efficient coach. I started being a better husband and father, etc. You know, all of these things happened when I started taking care of myself. So for you, in order for you to take care of others, take care of your job, your coaching, your family, etc., you got to take care of yourself first, or you won't be able to do anything else. And it's a simple change for me was like when I started back in the weight year, when I started lifting weights, I started, my mood changed. I was better. I was more alert. And you know what? Like all these things start factoring into your decision making as a coach, your planning, like your proficiency. Everything comes from taking care of yourself. So your body's first, getting your body right, your mind right, your health right. You know, your soul is second. So what do you love doing? You know, what brings you happiness? You know, body, mind, and soul. That's kind of my three things, body, mind, and soul. And you'll be a better coach because of it. I guarantee you, you'll be a better coach. And you know, mental health comes with that too, right? It's all about mental health ties in taking care of yourself. So you could do all these things. You will be the best coach possible. You know, I'm pretty confident saying that. All right, so let's review. These were my big takeaways as a college coach. I mean, I could go on and on and on about other things, but these are my main ones. So just to recap, you need one or two game changer players to win, and one of them needs to be a pin player. And that is at any level. Any coach could take that advice. Culture matters, okay? It still matters. You need, and that is a college coach one, you need a supportive administration. If it's you versus the administration, it will never work. You need a great coaching staff. You need to have a great player development model. Recruiting needs to be great. Need to be able to put out fires quickly. And there's going to be a lot of them. Eligibility is huge at the college level, without a doubt. Strength training is a must. Your players need to buy in to your program, your philosophy, your system. It still only takes one player to create a poison in your locker room. And you know that's why we always ask at the end of the season, if there was one player you'd like to see go, who would that be and why? Your family comes first. And more importantly, you come first. You need to take care of yourself as a coach before anything else. Because that's when you'll be at your best. That's when you'll be at optimal performance and the most efficiency possible. All right, that's it for me. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. I can't wait to see you guys next week. And yeah, weird episode for me, I gotta say. A weird episode because I will be returning next week not as the head coach of the biggest college in Canada, more so as the former head coach of the biggest college in Canada. But regardless, it's a good move. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what it's going to do for the show, for DVA, for my future, and my family. So that's it. See you guys next week. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBtraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.